Let's listen to Dr. Hugh Davis sing or play More Precious Than Silver, Like You All Are.
I wasn't sure after 62 years if I could make it up here, but it's great to be back here and see everybody, and this is a wonderful day. I want to share a story with you this morning before we start. I think you will enjoy it. A young woman brought her fiancé home to meet her parents. After dinner, the mother asked the father to find out about the young man, and so the father invited him into the study for the talk. "So what are your plans?" the father asked the young man. "I'm a biblical scholar," he replied. "Well, a biblical scholar," the father said. "That's admirable, but what will you do to provide a nice house for my daughter to live in?" "I will study," the young man replied, "and God will provide." "And how will you buy her a beautiful engagement ring such as she deserves?" said the father. "I will concentrate on my studies, and God will provide for us." "And children," asked the father, "how will you support your children?" "Don't worry, sir, God will provide," replied the fiancé. The conversation went on like this for quite some time, and every time the young man answered with the same thing, that God would provide. Later, after they had left, the mother asked the father, "Well, how did it go, honey?" And the father answered, "Well, he has no job, he has no plans, and he thinks I'm God." All right, now on a more serious note, why don't we bow our heads this morning and say a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this wonderful day, and thanks for this congregation. We are so happy that we can come here and worship you with no fear of threat or imprisonment or anything. We are so fortunate. We have many people on our prayer list. We have some who have had surgeries and have come through, and you have watched over them, so we give thanks for that. We have some who are having surgery, and we ask that you would be with them and watch what their surgeons are doing and bring them back to us healthy, with healthy lives. We are so proud of our preacher and his wife, and we hope that you will bless us when he brings the sermon to us this morning. We ask all of these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. And now we need to start with our first hymn for the morning, and it's Holy, Holy, Holy. So why don't we stand and sing that together? Be seated.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the song you've planted in us, a melody which rings out no matter what our circumstances may be. Some of us here today need your strength, for our voices are barely heard above the noise of our problems. Others of us require your leading, for in the confusion of life, we are losing our sense of direction. Some need your word of caution concerning roads we are hell-bent on traveling. Others could use your encouragement as we walk the path you have opened for us. When we sing your praise, Lord, in the same breath we are asking you to move amid our problems, our confusion, our mistakes, as well as the good we do, and make your praise a part of our daily life. Help us to rejoice and to be glad. In the name of Christ, our joy, amen.
All right, this is the word of the Lord. The first is John 16, verse 8. When he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Acts 19, 1 through 7. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." And then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, we did so well with the first hymn that it's time for us to do another one. Would you stand, please, and join me with Immortal Invisible? Standing, as it's time for us to give our tithes and our offerings, would you join me as we sing the doxology together? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Be seated.
We give you thanks, O Lord, that we are able to give back out of our bounty a portion of what we have to serve your kingdom here on earth.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground His body lay, darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave He rose again, and as He stands in victory, curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Thank you, Hugh. That was beautiful. I remember back in New York City as a kid, there were at least three or four times during the year I dreaded. That was the day of report cards. I don't know how many of you had to do this, but we all had to go home and bring the report cards to our parents and have them sign it. We know lots of kids that forged their parents' signatures. I never did that. But if you had to ask the congregation, what is your understanding of the Holy Spirit, I wonder what our report card would say. Now, we're talking about three parts of the Apostles' Creed. We have done God is, Jesus is, and this morning it is, the Holy Spirit is. You know, God the Father, we know about him. He's the big guy upstairs, as he's referred to. God the Son, we know him even better from those beautiful Anglo-Saxon pictures in our Sunday school rooms. But the Holy Spirit, that's another story. He's the person of God that we hardly know. Now, Marianne read in Acts 19, Paul's first visit to Ephesus met some disciples of John the Baptist, and when Paul asked if they had received the Holy Spirit, they said, no, we haven't even heard of him. Is there a Holy Spirit? We've never heard of him. And many contemporary Christians would say, well, yeah, we've heard of him, but not enough. So what grade would you give yourself on your understanding of the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to ask you to write it down. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm just asking you to pose that question. Now, in a few minutes, 15 minutes or whatever, a little cram course on the Holy Spirit. Who is he, what does he do, and how can you receive his blessings in your life? The fundamental question is, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not like an impersonal power like electricity or a wonderful fragrance. Many people speak of the Holy Spirit as an it, but if you saw the Star Wars movies, you remember the phrase, may the force be with you. Many people think that the Holy Spirit is some kind of mysterious non-entity force. But the Bible clearly states that the Holy Spirit can apply to a person. For example, Romans 8:27, Holy Spirit possesses a mind. Acts 13, he speaks. In 1 Corinthians, it says, he has a will. Ephesians 4 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You can't grieve a power. You can only grieve another person. John 16, Jesus says of the Holy Spirit, he will only speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Because this is so important, because the Holy Spirit is an actual person of God. Same as one and the Holy Spirit with God the Father and God the Son. The Holy Spirit is a divine person. The famous story of Ananias and Sapphira, if you remember that, they lied about the Holy Spirit and they died on the spot. Peter said they had sinned against the Holy Spirit. But then in the next verse they said they sinned against God, which is correct. That's both correct because the Holy Spirit both is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is God. When Jesus gave them a great commission in Matthew 29, he said, he commanded the disciples to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God is, the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. When you go to a Rockies game, you can buy a large pretzel for an unbelievable price. Well, you get a hot dog and a drink, and it's $20, but a pretzel might be $6. But the pretzel is woven into three parts. It has three holes, and each one is a little different, but they're all parts of a pretzel. One pretzel, three parts, not a perfect analogy, but that is an analogy of the Trinity. So if you put these two truths together, the Holy Spirit is a person, and you can have and you should have a relationship with this Holy Spirit. When you're coming in contact with the Holy Spirit, you're coming in contact with the Lord of the universe, the God of our fathers, the one who gives us power. Every time we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit in the Apostles' Creed, it means that there is a loving God able and willing to enter our personal being through the Holy Spirit and change it. So many people are unfortunate because they don't understand how the Holy Spirit can really change your life. Well, what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, the theologians talk about three things that the Trinity can do. God the Father is the source of all things. God the Son is the channel of all things. And the Spirit is the agent of all things. Do you get that? It's hard. It's not easy. But it's all parts of the power of God. Just in three persons. In history, the Holy Spirit is mentioned very early, Genesis 1, verse 2. And the Spirit of God moved over the waters. That is so important that he's with us right from the beginning. And he's with us at the very end of Revelation, so the Spirit of God is with us there as well. He's the one who inspires us, poets, creators, want things, people who are artistic and spiritual and musical. Dr. Hugh Davis is going to be presenting a wonderful end of the sermon in a musical, poetic way, in a production that he put together in the last few days to really augment this sermon. So that you can understand and feel and understand the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked about God is and what God is in our life. We talked about what Jesus is in our life. And those are not hard to understand. But it's harder to understand what the Holy Spirit is. When the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years, he led them by fiery pillar by night and a cloud by day. And that was the Holy Spirit. He was the Spirit that lifted Ezekiel when the people were in captivity. He also enabled the temple to be rebuilt. And when you come to the New Testament, you can see his work in his life, especially in the life of Jesus. The Lord was conceived by the Holy Spirit, who came upon him at his baptism, who led him in the wilderness when he was tempted by the devil, who filled him with power to create miracles. If you remember the last verse in the book of John, it said, if all the miracles that Jesus did were written in a book, it would fill the whole world. Who bore witness that he was the Son of God. The Holy Spirit was with Jesus when he was on the cross and died. And he went to preach to the dead in Hades. He was there when Peter and Paul were in the Roman Empire preaching and finally were martyred. The Holy Spirit brought unity to the early church. He is the unseen hand of God moving throughout history and giving us power in the world today. What is he doing in the world today? Is he retired and living in HEB? No, the Holy Spirit is still working within us. We can answer that from the words of Jesus in John 16. When he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's like a prosecuting attorney in a court case. He comes and builds the case, fact by fact, item by item, upon his case. And like a judge, like Tom DiMarino is, he makes the judgment and says, okay, based upon the evidence, it is so overwhelming that it's either guilty or not guilty. But within our lives, the Holy Spirit comes to us and convicts us and says, how have you lived your life? What is your life like? The Holy Spirit works through us so that we can share the gospel with others as we live through the power that we have in ourselves, not just through words, but through our actions and how we treat other people. We say to the Lord, we say, yes, we are guilty. We fall far short. Yes, I need a Savior. I can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. Here are some of the things that the Holy Spirit does for you. He baptizes people in the body of Christ. He seals every believer saying, okay, here's your contract. It's sealed, signed, and delivered, stamped with the mark of the Spirit. He indwells in every believer with his Holy Spirit and power. He comes into you. You just ask for help. He gives spiritual gifts to every believer. There are all kinds of spiritual gifts. Betty has one that she doesn't like. It's called hospitality. But she can't help herself because that's one of her spiritual gifts. He produces the fruit of a godly life within us. What do we do as a church? Look at what we do as a church every year for the last almost 11 years. The amazing things that this little congregation of super seniors has done. He causes us to put to death the evil in our life. He comes into us and says, okay, he convicts us and says, now you've got to do it right, and shows us how to do it right. He creates unity among believers. Look at our unity that we have in our church, a loving community of believers. That's great. And he guarantees us our final salvation in heaven. And that is so important. So the Holy Spirit does stuff, important stuff. Everything to bring us to Christ, everything we need to walk with Christ in this life, everything we need to take us safely from earth to heaven. He does it for all, and he does it for us. Think of that. What a great gift. What a great power. But how do we receive this? What do we have to do? Do we have to sign a certificate? Do we have to pay a certain amount of money? How can we receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit? The truth has to have power to possess us and to change us. That's the big thing, to change our attitude and our life. Ephesians says, be filled with the Spirit. In your life, it's so obvious with a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit, because when you talk to them, you know that. You can see it in their eyes and the way they act. They are so open and so positive in the way they live. We should be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like a great energizer. Well, we need the continual filling of the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time deal, because we are a vessel, but we're a leaky vessel. We lose our power. As each day wears on, the pressures ebb and flow. Some days are better than others. Some days are tough. So sometimes we become petty or unkind or bossy, or impatient, or just cranky, or sometimes just hard to live with. I know. Sometimes I'm hard to live with. Sometimes we say mean things to the people we love. Sometimes we need a new power, a new blessing. Well, how do we do that? God's Son, in John 1, says that God's Son cleanses us from every sin. So you could pray a prayer like this. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit, make me the kind of man or woman that you'd like me to be. Just ask God. It'll come into your life. One thing you should try to do, this is tough, And I did it mentally. But you can write down all the things you've done in your life that displeased God. Now that gets to be a big list. Because if you look back, sometimes some of these things were sins of omission. Some of the things I neglected to do and should have done. Others were the wrong attitudes, hasty words, a tendency towards thoughtless chatter, streak of unkindness towards one that you love. It just happens. You remember Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it. Well, that's very true. If we have the Holy Spirit, that gets rid of that. It wipes you clean. Sometimes it's good to stop and do a deep cleaning of the soul. And the way you do that is you release inside of you those things that are negative. My life is like Jeremiah's. Jeremiah didn't know half of his sinfulness until he really acknowledged it. But when this is complete, when you have done this inventory in your life, you can write it all down on a piece of paper, and at the bottom use a big red magic marker and write down the word forgiven, crumple it up, put it through the shredder or burn it, and your sins are gone. All you have to do is confess your sins to the Lord, and they are forgiven. So God answers your questions. He answers your prayers. He forgives you in all that you do. The Holy Spirit can come into our community and change it. I hope it's going to happen. And we are looking possibly to some kind of a revival in our community. Charles Spurgeon, the famous preacher, says, "The grand thing the church wants in this time is God's Holy Spirit. Now, if the church were altered a little bit, it would go better. All we want is the Spirit of God in everyone's life. Every person by together makes a huge difference. We're going camping. We might have a charcoal fire. The best way to kill a fire is to spread it out. The best way to keep it going is to keep it together. Each one of you is a coal, a fire for the Holy Spirit. And if we stay together, we can do so much. The Holy Spirit of God is now, and is forevermore. May God grant it to us. And let us now entertain the production that Dr. Davis has given to us this morning so that we can better understand and feel what the Holy Spirit is about.
In the beginning, the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. He is Creator. He's known in Scripture as the Spirit of Holiness. Jesus said that He was the Spirit of truth, and when He comes, He would guide the disciples into all truth. Truth about God, about themselves, and about the need for a Savior. The Spirit's like the wind. You can't tell where it came from or where it's going. And the same thing of how God moves in people's hearts and lives, causing them to be born again, gently caressing the human heart. To those who are suffering, bringing comfort. To those who are troubled and perplexed, bringing peace. Jesus said the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father would send in His name, would lead us into all things and help us remember whatever He said to us. He pours the love of God into our hearts. And hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured out through the Holy Spirit, who loves in a way that no human could ever love. He reminds us that we're not orphans in this world. We are God's children, precious and beloved from all eternity. And at times when life is tough and we just don't know how to pray, He prays for us with groans too deep for words. Oh, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. The Spirit equips us to live together as the body of Christ, the people of God, and to show that love to the world around us. And Jesus said the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our future. He's the down payment, if you would. That which we have from God to guarantee our inheritance until the redemption of God's own people is complete. One day, we shall appear before the very face of God. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit, applying the work of Christ, God is, Jesus is, the Holy Spirit is God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Redeemer, Creator, King of Kings.
Let us confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed.
Sovereign and righteous Father,
Jesus
as we prepare now to take communion and sing our communion hymn, I'd like to share these words with you from Romans 8. If Christ is in you, your spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And now let us join together singing Spirit of the Living God.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was betrayed, met with his disciples in the upper room for the Passover meal. He sat down with them and distributed the bread and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Eat all of it in remembrance of me." And then when they finished eating, he took the cup, blessed it, and said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." And now let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
It is great to see so many people here today, and we hope that you'll be back next week as we celebrate Father's Day. But now let's sing our closing hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Please stand.
Don't forget to greet the guests. In fact, three of the guests bought the house that Bobby and Norm Ashford lived in. So that's quite a coincidence. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.